Well, your favorite duo is back. Your favorite cousins are indeed back in action. Welcome to the Silver Boys Podcast. I am your host, Cam Silver.
And I am your co-host, Kyle Silver.
And Kyle, just when we thought, you know, we were just chilling, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like last week, there wasn't really any big, like, humorous news. We were kind of just picking back off of what happened
two weeks ago, yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. With all the conference realignment in college. But then it seemed like, I don't know, all the other sports kind of got jealous and were like, all right, we're holding
yeah, like,
beer.
It's time. They were like, all right, it's time to drop the bomb now.
Drop the huge bomb.
It's time.
I don't even know which one to start with, so.
Let's start with Harden.
Let's start with Harden?
Yeah, let's start with Harden.
Okay, so Saturday, the Philadelphia 76ers said that they were going to stop the Harden trade talks. Harden wants to go to the Los Angeles Clippers, and they tried to get that whole thing going for, like, weeks, almost, a month and some change now.
Yeah.
But then that just never, it gained any traction. There were no real realistic trade options or trade offers, like, coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So then after that, they were just like, all right, whatever, we'll just bring him back for a training camp. That happens in September. And 2 days later, James Harden is in China and he's talking at a camp and he goes on to say that Daryl Morey is a liar and that he will never play for the Sixers organization as long as he is there. And if you didn't hear it the first time, he decided to repeat it and say it again.
He said it twice. He said it twice within 5 seconds of each other.
He doubled down on it.
That man, he got some serious accusations on him.
Something
That's
was
crazy.
Promised. Something had to be promised.
Like, if you were there, like, if he's look, because apparently him and Daryl Morey was supposed to be like the tightest of boys. Like,
yeah,
they, you know what I'm saying?
Because think about it. He brought him into Houston.
Mm-hmm.
In Houston, he becomes, you know, arguably one of the greatest scorers that the game has ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so cool. You know, the only thing missing there was a championship.
Yep.
He got up to the Western Conference Finals. All this good stuff. He wants to leave Houston, so then he forces his way out and goes to Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Brooklyn doesn't work out well.
Yeah.
Forces his way out of Brooklyn, and now he's in Philly.
And then now he's doing the exact same thing again. Third time's a charm. He's trying to force his way out of the Sixers organization. And for him to double down on it, like you said earlier, that is just, it's actually insane to me because they must have had some type of conversation where Daryl Morey promised him something and said, like, all right, like, we're going
to
try and
we're
work things
out,
work you into something, into a better position, I guess. But, I don't mean, to me personally, I feel like the Sixers is a great position for him.
Yeah. It,
like, you got
a perfect position for him.
You got a somewhat reliable big in Joel Embiid, and you got a young stud in Tyrese Maxey. You got Tobias Harris, PJ Tucker in them. So it's like, why now all of a sudden is it Daryl Morey's a liar and I'm never going to play for a team that's ran by him ever again?
Yeah, like, where are you, like in reality, this is what it is. In reality, okay, yes, you wanted your money, but let's stick to reality here,
mm-hmm.
real quick. You are not who you used to be.
Not at all. Not at all.
Like, not even close to who you used to be. So you sitting here trying to, I don't even know how to really explain it. You sitting here trying to force a way out and trying to do all this, that, and the third, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Because if Philly for sure doesn't see you as a long-term player, do you think any of the other organizations are looking at you as a long-term player either?
Exactly.
No, they're not. Everybody sees your stats. This isn't anything that's secret. It's not hidden.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like,
mm-hmm.
we've seen you drop, what was that, 40, what do you have, 45 in game one
yeah.
against the Celtics? And then after that, You've resorted right back to who you used to be.
Exactly. Like, we thought, oh, like, all right, Houston Harden back.
Exactly.
That game won. Like, all right, like, they can win.
Mm-hmm.
They can go as far as James Harden takes them. It wasn't even like we were looking at Joel Embiid anymore because we know. Like,
well, we couldn't. Well, the reason why we didn't look at Joel Embiid at that time because, one, Joel Embiid was hurt, so he wasn't playing
yes.
in that game. But I feel like I was still looking at Joel Embiid the same way because either way, Joel Embiid was still running that team.
Obviously,
I didn't care
yes,
for James
yes,
Harden.
Yes.
But James Harden, obviously, becoming, you know, a flat flashes of Houston James Harden is what was going to put them over the top.
Yeah, that was what was going to propel them.
All I needed you to do for out of a 7-game series, just 4 of those games, I just need you to act properly. I need you to act properly.
Got to act. He was not acting right, man. He was not. Aside from game one, but then it's like, come on, dude.
It was a game one, and then what was that, game four or game six or something like mm-hmm. that? I forgot. It was one of the games where they were at home where he went off again, and, mm-hmm. you know, they had somehow, some way managed to fight their way back and win that game, but then eventually lost in game seven. But, yeah, no, it's just you don't have that thing anymore.
The problem with James Harden, in my opinion, too, is – like, why are you trying to force your way out of so many good positions in your career?
Yeah, you had great situations. Like, I understand, you know, maybe at Houston at the end because, you know, they were bringing in a young core. Mm-hmm. That makes sense because, you know, you
at don't a certain point, the team is gonna like they're gonna have to revamp the whole team
exactly.
If said product isn't working,
correct. And then you don't want to sit there and. You don't want to be, you know, the guy, you know, where you have to sit there and rebuild, mm-hmm. and, you know, it takes another, you know, 3 to 4 years to
get back where you were. Really,
exactly. You know, same thing, same position that Dame is in, mm-hmm. type of thing. But then you leave Houston to go to Brooklyn. Brooklyn is arguably the best team assembled that we've just never seen.
Exactly.
Basically. We only got like a little like baby sample sizes of them. That what did they only play like 12, 16 games together? Like
If that.
Mm-hmm. And then even in those games when they all play together, they play very well.
Very, very well.
So
it's not like James Harden was asked to do what he was doing in Houston either.
No.
He could have took a lesser role, and they could have been. They should have won a championship. All
easily,
three of them:
easily.
Kyrie, James, and KD.
And KD.
They should have. But then, no, James Harden doesn't feel like, you know, he feels some type of way. And then now all of a sudden he forces his way out. And then, like, again, like I just said, how do you put yourself in the same position three times, though?
Yeah.
With three different teams. At a certain point, now we got to look at you. Not the teams, not nobody else. Because you're repeating everything.
Yeah, and it doesn't make any sense for you to, you know, for you to even, like, to keep going this way.
And why should it, a team is looking at you. Teams have been looking at you for the better part of like 5-6 years now, and they're like, he's just going to come in, do what he wants, he wants his money, and then he's just going to try and force his way out to find a better situation.
Mm-hmm.
What team is going to want that?
And I'll go to what Kendrick Perkins said, where he said he wouldn't be surprised if he sees him out of the league soon.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I get it. And that's sad.
And it's sad.
That's
yeah, it's very sad to say. It's very sad, but you're so sabotaging yourself for mm-hmm. no reason.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of what Le'Veon Bell did with the Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I understood, mm-hmm. you know, he wasn't getting his money or anything like that, but you self-sabotage yourself. Then you go to the Jets, and then you don't even really play.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of the day, yes, go get your money. I'm all for that, but also... You gotta play.
You gotta hold up your end of the bargain.
Yeah, you're not gonna get your money if you don't play.
Exactly.
I'm not gonna get my money if I don't show up to work.
And you damn sure not getting your money if you calling your owner a liar and all of these other names.
Correct.
That's crazy. When I heard that, like when I seen that, I was like, wait a minute,
bro. I got off work from Amazon. Kid you not, 6 o'clock in the morning. I get in bed, and I just look. I get the notification from mm-hmm. Shams. I'm looking, I see it, and I'm like, oh, nah. When I like, wake up in the morning, it's on. When I wake up in the morning, everybody's in trouble.
Like, that was completely out of left field.
Oh, yeah.
Completely.
That was something where it's like, all right, well, you know, aren't they just not going to trade
mm-hmm.
him? Oh, well, who cares? If he's really disgruntled, then he'll be like, all right, well, I'm not going to show up and do this, that, and
yeah,
the third
exactly.
for like however
long. Hold out, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know that you just sit here and call the man a liar. Like... Like, where'd that come from?
I don't know. Like, I'm perplexed by it, bro.
But no, it makes more so of the conspiracy theorists of the fact that, yes, somebody promised you something.
Mm-hmm. And it
you're
did not
getting it.
You're not getting it now. That's crazy.
I don't know, man. I don't know. That's business, though.
It's business. It's business. It's business. Business
though.
Is business.
But, look, the NBA schedule actually comes out later today.
Mm-hmm.
They've already, you know, released like, you know, like
I've
the big time,
like some,
the Christmas,
like
the
some
Christmas
games,
Day games
yeah.
and like some of the opening day games. The inaugural in season tournament, the schedule
mm-hmm.
for that finally dropped too. Yeah, that's a lot to go through.
Yeah, we're gonna have to like dedicate like, to, another podcast. For,
yeah, and
for
we'll
that.
Do that probably yeah. like more so like down the road too, because we still got time. We still got about like what two months into the season basically. Mm-hmm. So you know, we still got time for that. But yeah, no, the NBA season is coming up and it's coming fast and. Obviously, we have some disgruntled guys who want their money, who clearly don't deserve that type of money. Some type of money, yes, they'll get, but not that type of
not
money.
Not that type of money. Not that Supermax. No.
Should learn from Russell Westbrook, bro. You ain't getting that money again. Anyway, on to the NFL. So we finally got to look at some of the rookies from week one. It's week one of the preseason.
Ain't much you can say, bro. I mean,
it's a rude awakening. I put it to you like I got the top four quarterback. I got the top three quarterbacks. Excuse me, that were drafted in front of me. Mm-hmm. So Bryce Young, who was 4 for 6 for 21 yards. C.J. Stroud, 2 for 4 for 13 yards and one interception. Anthony Richardson, 7 for 12, 67 yards for one interception. So you know, it like a low sample size. Bryce Young going into Carolina. He has literally no O-line.
Nothing.
The Jets were literally just getting through there with, like, no problem at all. So,
in preseason.
Yeah, he was just getting – he was getting manhandled out there.
That's worrisome.
And I felt for,
that's worrisome.
I felt for him. He's going to have to use his legs a lot.
He's going to have to.
C.J. Stroud, when he gets the Patriots, well, you know, with the first-team Patriots out there with Bill Belichick, they ain't much you can really do, especially with a rookie quarterback. They're going to – I watched the first series that or second series that he was on. Yeah, they were coming to get him. They were coming to get him.
Hey, welcome to the league, brother. Welcome to the league.
Plain and simple, they were coming to get him.
Bill was definitely like in the huddle, like, hey, go get this boy.
Yeah. C.J. Stroud had one where the cornerback had disguised himself. It looked like where he fell back off the route, but then he just came back and he jumped in and caught the interception. That was the interception that he threw.
Okay.
But yeah, no, it's steep. I put it to you, it's more of a steep learning curve than a lot of people think it is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like some guys, you know, coming to the league and, you know, they're a little better off depending on who they have. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, you see guys all the time, Jalen Hurts. So many people were so down on Jalen Hurts and still to this day for some unknown reason, still down on Jalen Hurts. When in reality, if we really want to talk about it, Jalen Hurts is top five quarterback in the league.
Oh,
right
most
now.
Definitely.
You can't lead a team to the Super Bowl and not be put in the top five.
You can't.
In my opinion.
No.
I don't care who you have. If he has a good team. I'd hope he have a good team if he gets to the Super Bowl with the
like,
team.
That's what I'm saying. Like what?
It doesn't make any sense. But yeah, no, it's just looking at these numbers and looking at how they played and how, you know, the defensive coordinators are looking at them. Mm-hmm. Yes, they're gonna get a lot of different looks.
Mm-hmm.
They're gonna get tricked a lot. It's going to look very, very, very sloppy, very unorganized, but...
Especially for those first couple weeks. You got to learn at a fast pace, you know? Mm-hmm. And you got to learn like this on a drop of a dime.
Yeah. But it's good, though, that they're just getting the playing time. Mm-hmm. And I remember, you know, seeing guys like, oh, shit, they begin to play time. Yes.
Yes. Oh, most definitely. You need those in-game reps.
Yeah. Cause,
like, that adrenaline.
Yeah. Because you look at someone like Trey Lance was sitting behind who? Jimmy Garoppolo? And then, you know, they try to put Trey Lance in, you know, obviously he gets hurt, but from everything that I hear from their training camp and stuff like that from reporters is that the team isn't really too big on him.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, at the end of the day, it's more like, you know, I would rather if I draft a guy, I would rather just put him in now and let's rock.
Yeah, because you got to learn at some point, right?
Yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, no, I think, you know, those guys will be good. They'll be fine. The rookies will be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody would do good. But the big news, though, Dalvin Cook is a Jet, and Ezekiel Elliott is a New England Patriot.
Yeah, that the second one I didn't see coming. Zeke to the Patriots
Zeke
like
to
that?
To the Patriots. You know what's funny? They were in a conversation.
I seen the conversations, but, like, to me it was just more about, like, I didn't know that that's what they were looking at, but it's a good pickup for them.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Truly good pickup.
Yeah.
Because that whole division is going to want to air out the ball, and Bill Belichick and them, they're just going to ground and pound. Like, that's all they're going to do.
Yep.
It adds a different, like, landscape to that New England offense, especially if you got to protect Mac Jones now.
Mm-hmm. And then also think you still got Juju that just came in, too. And I think – I forgot what other receiver that they have, but I know they have another, like, pretty good receiver out there, too. But, yeah, no, they – Offense is okay.
Yeah, no. Yeah. Offense,
you know,
defense
is usually, you know, under Bill Belichick, defense and special teams are always usually going to be, you know, the pillars
the
of,
focal
of,
point,
of, the,
yeah. Yeah,
of the Patriots. But, you know, the offense, as long as they have a good, steady offensive coordinator, unlike last year where they tried to get Matt Patricia to do it and, well, what's his face?
Joe Judge. Yeah, that was stupid.
That was dumb. I was like, first of all, they've never been offensive coordinators ever in their lives. One, two, they both have failed head coaching stints.
Both of them. And then you bring them back. Why?
If I would have brought them back, I'm like, all right, y'all going back into the season.
Y'all were in before. Joe Judge, special teams. Like, come on. No.
Yes, Patricia, you're going back to defense.
I got a bone to pick with Joe Judge, man. I got a bone to pick with him. I don't like him.
Hey, that's what happens when you decide to hire somebody that was a coordinator for special teams.
We're talking about the Giants for anybody who doesn't know. And when Joe Judge was the head coach of the Giants a couple years ago, didn't like it at all. Even when they hired him, I was like, wait a minute.
I think everybody was like, wait a minute. I'll never forget Twitter that day, yo. They was roasting.
Yo,
man.
Oh, the comments was off the chain. Gosh, oh my gosh. No, man, thank God for Brian Daboll coming in.
Yes.
Yeah, but like you said, Dalvin Cook is a Jet. I remember we were talking about that, and it finally came to fruition, man.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's good pickup for him, especially since Breece Hall, you know, coming
still
off
coming
of that,
back
of that
ACL injury.
Yeah,
I like that. I like that, especially because if you've been watching Hard Knocks lately, they've released two episodes. On the second episode, they had joint practice with Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And that episode, during that joint practice, you could see that the offensive line clearly had trouble.
Really?
Panthers' defensive line isn't even all that great.
No, not at all.
So for them to have trouble says a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you bring in someone like Dalvin Cook, you know, that could offset some things, especially mm-hmm. for Rodgers. Mm-hmm. You know, Rodgers doesn't have to become an official gunslinger.
Mm-hmm.
He could still, you know, sit there. He could hand it off to Cook. You know, when Breece Hall comes back, he can hand it off to him. I forgot. They got another running back. I forgot his name though. I think Michael Carter.
Yes, Michael Carter too.
So yes. They have a good amount of running backs. They have a great wide receiving core. You know, it's just the offensive line. Once the offensive line really comes together,
mm-hmm.
then I think
it'll be okay.
Yeah. I would give them around like week 5, week 6
mm-hmm.
for them to like really officially establish who they are.
Mm-hmm. Like really gel together, protecting Aaron Rodgers. Yes.
Correct. But other than that, no, that team is going to be disgusting.
That team will be scary.
Watching, I'll go back to the Hard Knocks again. Watching that crap, man, Quinnen Williams, yeah, it was funny. He was like, man, I probably got 10 sacks out here already today. Yo, in one practice, but if you was watching it and you was really counting it, uh-huh. he was above like 6 or 7.
Oh my God.
Like, he was like they were putting double teams on him. He was like literally ripping through double teams.
Oh,
one on ones. You wouldn't even dare.
That's worrisome as well.
So the money that he just got, oh yeah, he earned it.
Oh, most definitely.
He earned
Okay. Good for him.
So yeah,
good
no, the defensive line, that their line is tough.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody knows about their secondary, mm-hmm. you know, led by Sauce Gardner. Sauce Gardner out there guarding, you know, Garrett Wilson. You know, it reminds me of like how my dad would explain to me how Deion Sanders and Jerry Rice were like going mm-hmm. against each other, like, you know, two of the best going against each other, you know what I mean? And I feel like it's gonna be the same thing with Sauce and with Garrett Wilson.
Oh, most
as long
definitely.
As they, you know, as long as they stay on the same team.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's gonna be another one of those where iron's gonna sharpen iron.
Yeah, and if I'm the Jets, like you keep those two together because they're gonna make each other way, way better. Like, they're going to make each other so much better.
Because Sauce is literally just going to be another Darrell Reeves in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree. Quarterbacks aren't even going to want to look his way after a certain point, and he's going to prove it. He's going to. That boy got that sauce on him.
He low-key already proved it his rookie year last year.
No, most definitely. That's why we're talking about him now is in the light that we are.
Yeah, no, he's for sure up there as one of my favorites to
watch. That boy good.
Uh-huh. Oh, I need you to do it because I'm recording on our phone. The AP polls have dropped.
Yes.
Georgia is first, I know.
Georgia
second
first.
Michigan. Third, I believe, is Ohio State. Fourth is Alabama. Fifth is LSU.
Mm-hmm.
That's just off the top of my head. I think, and if I remember correctly, in the top 10, I know Florida State is up there. I think they're above Clemson. What's elbow?
I think they were too. From when I looked, I'm just trying to load it up here. Ain't no connection in here. But yes. Clemson not being top five is like, whoa, wait a minute. Okay.
I mean, I kind of understood it after what we've seen last year.
But LSU at five, like, you can't argue that.
Because
like,
they're bringing basically everybody back, especially, you know, Jalen Daniels is coming back. Yeah, no, they're basically bringing everybody back. So, yeah, no, I wouldn't argue. And then even people kind of had I've seen people trying to have a debate with Alabama and LSU. I say the only reason why Alabama got edged out, Alabama edged out LSU is because they're going to be playing at Alabama this year.
All right, no, so, yeah. So check this. USC is number six because, of course, of Caleb Williams. And then Penn State at seven. Mm-hmm. Florida State at eight. And then you got Clemson at nine.
Florida State at eight. That's huge.
That's actually, like, that's crazy.
I remember just a couple of years ago, they weren't even, like, we were sitting there like, all right, well, what is Florida State now?
After, like, for a real long time, I remember growing up, like, they were that team.
Exactly.
They were that team, yo. Mm-hmm. So for them to, like, come, like, fall off a little bit, but to come back and still be, like, top 10 in the AP poll, that's big. That's big.
Also, I'm hearing rumors that they could be leaving in 2025.
Oh, wow.
I don't know where, though, but that's the rumor.
That's crazy.
So, yeah. Let's see. Oh, I've seen Tulane is in, like, the top 25. I think they're, like, 24 or something like that. They played, who did they play last year? I think they played, it was USC, if I'm not mistaken, in the Cotton Bowl that they played. Yeah, they played USC in the Cotton Bowl, and they killed USC because Caleb Williams just couldn't go. Tennessee, I believe, is up there.
Tennessee, you got Oklahoma at 20. That's kind of big. Wisconsin at 19. TCU 17.
Trying to see what they got after last year. After last year.
Honestly, I don't want to see. I'm tired. I don't want to see it. I don't want to.
Why?
Because they got smacked, mollywobbed.
I mean, they played everybody else good.
And then you get to the last game and you get mollywopped like that. No sympathy for me.
It only seems like the only team that was really going to give them competition was Ohio State. and they lost on a field goal.
You're right. Goodness gracious, brother.
But yeah, no, I like the AP poll this year.
Notre Dame at 13.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Yeah, you said Tennessee was 12. I remember you saying that. Tennessee is 12, yes. Yes. Yeah, no, I can't really argue with this AP poll list, honestly.
Mm-mm.
It's a good top 25.
I know Utah is in there. But it's crazy how the Pac-12, I think the Pac-12 got like five teams in there, four or five teams in there?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how they're just like gonna be no more after this. one of the other teams that we haven't talked about that's ranked on there is Oregon State, and they still don't have a place to go.
No,
they're ranked like 18.
That's crazy. They don't got no place to go for real. Like
I was like, wait a minute, they're actually good this year. And then Washington. Washington's ranked.
Washington,
10.
Yes.
Washington's ranked up there. I didn't expect that. Cause I've mentioned Michael Penix Jr., you know what I mean? Cause like I know how good he is, but I was like, I didn't know how good the whole team was, but alright, they got my attention. But yeah, no, this season is gonna be very interesting to see who moves up, who moves down. A team that I was surprised that did not get in is Colorado. I guess there is more so the fact that, you know, we need to see it before we can believe it.
I think so.
That's what it is too.
Yeah. Like I think they're going off of like the reliables of like who they know is like gonna show up.
But I know if they're, you know, in like the power rankings or whatever you wanna call it, I know they're for sure like in the top 30, 35. Mm-hmm. So if they, you know, get because they played TCU first.
Okay. Yeah, so, that's a statement game.
Yeah.
For the first game, yeah.
So if Coach Sant, if Prime and them come out with a statement, you know, and win against TCU, I think there's going to be a huge problem.
Oh, most definitely.
There's going to be a huge problem on everybody.
Don't let TCU get smacked again. I will come on here upset. I ain't even a TCU fan. I'm just saying. Like,
I was about to say, you Bama. Like,
yeah, yo, Bama all day, every day. Hey, they need to be number one in my opinion.
No, they don't need to be number one because whenever they're number one, they don't win.
You know what? You absolutely right. let them keep doubting my team, brother.
And I'll put it to you like this. Everybody that I've listened to, you know, like one channel that I do watch a lot, low key, is the SEC network a lot. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of Paul Feinbaum because okay. He's the one, you know, he does it all. But yes. From what I'm hearing, everybody's kind of like low key terrified of Alabama right now.
As they should be.
Because they just know. They know. Because especially, because you want to know what else it is too. So one of the biggest things that I kept hearing Nick Saban say this offseason was we're just trying to get back to the old Alabama ways. Mm-hmm. If you know the old Alabama like I do, watching from like 2009, that 2010, 2011, those teams, oh my goodness.
That's
like
scary.
Like I've been watching clips like lately. I've been like clips have been resurfacing of the 2011 Alabama defense team. That was like one of the most aggressive defensive teams I've ever seen in my life. Like they're up there with Georgia. Mm-hmm. from the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. So yeah, no. I'd be terrified because Nick Saban knows like Kirby Smart just won two in a row.
He's not going to let him three-peat.
You know, like, and it's funny because, like, we're not questioning his legacy, but at the same time, it's like, all right, you only got so much time.
You only got so much time. What do you have to say about it?
Yeah, no, I think they got a lot to say. Especially, and I think they're going to be better off this year, too, because especially they have more of a challenge this year with their schedule mm-hmm. than Georgia does. Georgia doesn't really have much of a challenge until they see Tennessee, and that's not until the end of the year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's like probably like the second or third to last game of the season. Mm-hmm. Everybody else, I'd say the only other team to watch out for probably is South Carolina.
Yes.
Because of Spencer Rattler. Mm-hmm. From what I'm hearing, sources are saying that, you know, he's playing like a man possessed. He's playing really, like, really good. If you know Spencer Rattler, a few years ago, he was, like, number one in his class. I forgot. I think it was the class of 2019, if I'm not mistaken, or 2020. I forgot which class he was in. Mm-hmm. But he was number one in the class. He bounced around a couple times, wasn't good in a couple places. But South Carolina, I feel like he's kind of found his calling.
Found his stride.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, no. That would be the only team that I would see on Georgia's schedule that could challenge Georgia. Mm-hmm. But other than that, not until they see Tennessee.
Wow. Wow.
So, yeah.
Hey, man. Big things coming.
Yeah, no, actually. Next week is the start of college football. I know Navy goes to Notre Dame. I know USC takes on San Jose State. Mm-hmm. And then, other than that, everybody else is kind of like little fillers in between. But, you know, it's here.
It's here, brother. We here. We done made it. We done made it.
It's here. I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited, too. Damn. I feel like we're basically at the end of the episode right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty good episode, I say. Yeah, so, it looks like we do have some, we have a camera here. So, finally, we'll see how that goes and, you know, start chopping up clips and, you know, give you guys, like, the whole thing and stuff like that. And, yeah, we'll just go from there.
Like I said, big things coming.
Yeah,
let's get it.
Well, thank you guys for joining in on us. You know, as usual, you know, appreciate you guys. I hope you guys had a good time just as much as we do every week. You know, spitting that game to you guys, talking our talk, you know. Keeping the people knowledge on the game.
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
But you already know. Till then, if there's any more news, you already know. We are going to be the first ones to try to get it out to you. Other than that, see you later.
Thank you.